Well, why don't you open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to kind of set the stage here with a few verses, starting in verse 5. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for another evening that we just get to come and worship you and just learn from you, Lord, and get ministered by you as we gather and pray, Lord. I just ask that this time would be a great way to glorify you as we learn more about your Spirit and the work that you do in our lives. Please speak through me now and just open our hearts, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I first started thinking about this topic, the first thing that came to mind was a song. There's so many great songs about the Spirit. We just sang two more tonight. It was awesome. And then this one we actually sang last night. Ray sang it, but it's called Your Presence. And the lyrics go, how I love your presence. It's where your whisper breaks through the noise. How I love your presence. It's where there's freedom and fullness of joy. When we invite Jesus to come into and take control of our hearts, the Spirit then indwells us, and we get to experience the presence of God with us, within us. We have a helper who is always with us. We just have to choose to let him help us. Choosing to invite him in was the first step, and it was this momentous, amazing, awesome occasion for many of us that we remember forever. But living with the Holy Spirit is an everyday choice. We have to choose to submit our will to his will. We have to choose to endure rather than just give up. And when we do, the joy that we get is just overwhelming from his Spirit. So I was thinking about it, and as I was thinking about that song, I realized that that song just gave me a great outline for this message. Because number one, we have to listen for the Spirit's whisper. That is, as we live with the Holy Spirit, we learn how to slow down and listen when the noise and the craziness of our lives just gets overwhelming. I mean, we all face difficult situations, right? I mean, you have a bad day at work, and you come home, and the kids won't listen to you, and your wife doesn't understand why you're upset, or your spouse, and on top of all that, of course, you're hungry, right, because you're fasting. And then, of course, there's the more serious stuff. I don't know, maybe you lose a job or just some other financial difficulty arises, car breaks down, roof starts leaking, you know, who knows what it is. Maybe you lost a loved one recently. Maybe you got an upsetting diagnosis from the doctor. But whatever it is, we can't control the situations, right? Situations happen. But we can control how we react to the situations. It's amazing. Oftentimes, we find that it's actually the everyday situations that are harder, that we struggle with more, for whatever reason that is. It's just another day. We don't think about the Spirit who is available to us at all times. So we quote James 1, 2 through 4 here a lot. So many of us have it memorized by now, but count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds, right? But how? How do you have joy through such difficult trials? Well, it starts with listening instead of reacting. Listening to the Spirit speak to you, letting him stop you before you say something or react in the wrong way. And the more we learn how to do that, the easier it gets. It's like exercising. You know, when you first start out, It sucks. It's not fun. It's terrible. Every day is a struggle. It's a challenge. You don't want to keep going. But after a while, you do it for a while, you get used to it. Your body starts getting more used to the exercise, and you start to see progress. It's easier to face another workout because you've already conquered so many workouts. And it's the same with trials. You can think of those trials as exercising your body, right? Because James 1:3 says, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. When we learn to trust the Spirit, another trial is just another day. And this learning and growing with the Spirit is that term that we call sanctification. It's the process of weakening the power of our flesh so that the Spirit can work through us. And as we get better at it, we get to experience the freedom that comes from living with the Holy Spirit. So which brings us to point number two, that life in the Spirit is freedom. Some people have this perception of Christianity as being like a rigid set of rules you have to follow. And there's this image or idea of the Spirit as, you know, the conscience, the little angel sitting on your shoulder telling you what not to do. And he's arguing with the demon on your other shoulder, right? Like in the Sylvester and Tweety cartoon or something, you know. But there's some truth to that. As Paul puts it, there's a battle going on between our flesh and the Spirit. But what Paul explains in Romans 8 is that the battle has already been won. First, in chapter 7, Paul just eloquently expresses this frustration that we've all experienced. So if you go to chapter 7, we're going to go to verse 18. So just one page back in my Bible. 7:18, it says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thankfully, that's a rhetorical question. "Thanks be to God, it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." So the question is, why do we allow ourselves to be swayed by the law of sin and death? As Paul argues at the beginning of chapter 7, and I'm going to paraphrase slightly here, but if we just go back to the beginning of chapter 7, and I'm going backwards, it says, "Do you not know that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives?" Interesting. "My brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ," in verse 4. Now down to verse 5. "For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Jumping over to 8 and continuing in chapter 8, in the first four verses of chapter 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." God knew that we couldn't perfectly obey the law, but we didn't know it. So God gave us every opportunity to try and try again all throughout the Old Testament. We see God giving his people opportunity, attempt after attempt, try after try, to do it correctly and failing, so that we, people, mankind, would know that we can't do it ourselves. We needed a Savior. And so, continuing in verse 3, "By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." His Spirit conquered sin and death. His Spirit is life within us. All we have to do is embrace him and allow him to work through us. We just have to let go. Whatever you have been arguing with him about, whatever you think you need to hold on to, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your free time, I don't know, whatever it is, we just have to let it go because God has already taken care of it. And when you do, you get to experience point number three, because with the Spirit, there is fullness of joy. There is no greater joy in this life than living with the Spirit. So the book of Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books in the Bible because the message is so simple, yet so profound. So now if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, just after Proverbs, we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. So this is kind of the theme that goes throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun?" That's a little depressing, a little dark, it seems like. And if you keep going into chapter 2, Solomon, as we believe is the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, he writes that all the pleasures of the world, all of them, vanity. And that's coming from the guy who had all of the pleasures of the world. He says in verse 9 of chapter 2, "So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered that all my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." And then he goes on. If you move down to verse 13, he talks about how even wisdom is vanity. And this guy, coming from the guy who was gifted the greatest amount of wisdom of all men ever before him, says in verse 13, "Then I saw that there was more gain, Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness, and yet I perceive that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? I said in my heart that this also is vanity." And then he goes down even more. You go to verse 18, and he talks about even hard work is vain. It says, "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity." So, all the pleasures of the world, vanity. Wisdom, vanity. Hard work, vanity. So what's the point? The point is simply this, that no matter what you do in this life, it's all in vain. It's all vanity if you do it without the Lord. On the contrary, with the Lord, no matter what you do, as long as you're doing it with the Lord, you can find enjoyment in anything. Because you get down to verse 24 in chapter 2, and this is what he says. "There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment?" So in working through this life with the Spirit, striving together, listening to his guidance, obeying his simple command to love, there can be joy in any situation. And sometimes it's joy that comes through his tough love. Sometimes it's joy that comes through his comfort, when we need comfort. But a lot of the time, it's just joy. So the Spirit empowers us to live a victorious life, victorious over the desires of our flesh, over the weakness of our flesh, and over the foolishness of our flesh. One of my favorite verses comes at the end of Ecclesiastes, which is chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard." This is it. After all of Solomon's wisdom has been laid out, documented in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he comes to this final conclusion. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The Spirit in you empowers you to do that very thing. So as keeping with the last two nights, we've been having Pastor Raul and Modesto come up and pray for the Spirit to come upon anybody who'd like to. Tonight we are asking if there's anyone here who is having trouble listening to the whispers of the Spirit, or who wants to be set free, or just wants to feel that joy that the Spirit has available to you. Pastor Roland Modesto are going to be up here, and you can just come forward right now, and we're going to pray with you.